Good morning, Douglas.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am fine, thank you.
And thank you for joining us.
Well, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit this morning about your book to start off with. You wrote a great book called The Secrets of Life, Unique Insight into the Workings of Your Soul by the Most Powerful Intuitive of Our Time. So I think the first thing that I want to know is that you talk about three different states of mind in your book. Would you please explain what those are?
Well, there's the conscious mind, which is the personality mind. Then there is a rational aspect or rational mind. That's the combination of the personality and the logic and the intellect. And then the most important or the most powerful part of our mind is the contemplative mind, which can be referred to as the soul mind. The contemplative mind is that part of our mind that allows us to develop our intuition. It allows us to experience all the things that we've come here in the world to experience through this immense, powerful mind. It's so powerful, so intelligent, it's very hard even to describe it, let alone know where it exists in our mind or our body. But we all touch upon it through dream states, through meditation, through spontaneous impressions. Any kind of intuitive tool or ability that we have, all is a relationship between the contemplative mind in what would be the communication going to the rational mind or the personality mind. Now, the subconscious mind is kind of a bridge between the two, and that subconscious mind is kind of like a tape recorder. It develops our personality, reflexes. It allows the body to work without command, all the involuntary things that go on in our body to take care of us. And this bridge between the rational mind and the contemplative mind through the subconscious mind makes up the entire states of mind that we have, at least for the descriptions in a finite way so that we can understand them. In the book, we've taken out all the jargon or terms that would be associated with parapsychology or religion, and we've put it into a straightforward, simplistic way, but not overly simplistic in its handling of very complicated situations. There is a chapter on karma, which is very well written. It's a few pages.
Mm-hmm.
It's very in-depth and very straightforward. The book was written and edited with my son, Douglas Matthew Cottrell, who has a couple of degrees up here at Western University. He's about 34 years of age now, and he basically thought up the concept of the book and put it together. And he laid it out in a very succinct way in which people can proceed through the book and cover all the basic circumstances of life, but in a way that is using that intelligence from the contemplative mind, the Akashic Records, some people have called it, the ancient wisdom, some people have called
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
Receiving good reviews in the places that it's been. It's only been out recently. It's available on our website, of course. It's available on Amazon.com just as last week. It's available in some of the major bookstores up in Canada where I am. The book is being perceived as one of the best written books of the last several months or year. Why? Because it's put out in such a way that it's logical, it progresses through the contemplative gifts, if you will, but it explains things very, very plainly. And I think that was my son's genius, and I might be sounding like his dad.
Yeah, yeah, you're a very proud dad, you sound like.
Yes.
But and that is the reason that we chose this book to feature, because it is empowering that way. It is one of those books that's very understandable, and you walk away empowered. You've got a direction to go. Douglas, let me ask you, in your book, if you could explain, the meaning of God, I mean, how you approach that.
Well, yeah, I believe, first of all and foremost, there is only one God. There is one almighty, God almighty, powerful God. I believe there are levels of spiritual consciousness. The spiritualists and the fundamentalists can agree that there are saints and there are avatars, there are saintly people, there are people who do good deeds in the world, and that the heavenly dimensions can be somewhat reflected by the different dimensions that are here in our own world. We certainly have nasty people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly have saintly people in the world. And in the dimensions above, in the astral plane, there are calling my contemplative mind the source or my soul mind, refer to them as misguided souls. these would be the mischievous entities that would be in the realm of poltergeists, haunting ghosts, voices that would interfere with people. People that would temporarily possess other people when they're intoxicated or inebriated or under the influence of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Above the astral plane, you, of course, ascend, and in the astral plane or in the planes above, there's no up and down, but for our concept or our perception, there's a higher up, if you will. So going through to the higher dimensions, one encounters different levels or of consciousness, different levels of development, if you will, to the ultimate level, which is somebody on the earth being fully realized in a physical way, in a spiritual way, an avatar like Satya Sai Baba or like Jesus Christ became, or like some of the other famous prophets, including Muhammad, peace be upon him. The whole concept is that there's a hierarchy of consciousness. But when it comes to God, God is all-inclusive, and on the cover of our book, we have a bolt of lightning.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the lightning, it's a shape on there, and that kind of happened mysteriously all by itself, and I'll leave it up to the listeners to when they see the cover to see if they can see the shape. But the long and the short of it is that God is like electricity. God is everywhere. God is so powerful that we can't handle it, comprehend it, or know its workings. And God, in the idea of electricity being everywhere, it's in us, it's in everything around us, it's throughout the world, it makes everything work. From the subatomic particles and the electrons right through to the galaxies and the great beyond in space. And if we perceive God as electricity, we then can understand that God is the great creator and the great destroyer. That we can't become God, else it will destroy us. But we can approach God, and we can, in varying levels of experience or degrees, handle God, if you will, in which God then works with us. But we're obeying certain practical laws, if you will, like anybody who would handle electricity would. And by knowing these laws, karma, grace, repentance, and etc., being a good person, shall we say, that energy can be used for our total well-being, physically, financially, spiritually, emotionally.
Is it too simplistic to say that God is love?
Well, that is not. The readings often say God is love, love is God. And my son and I looked it up on the Bible, in the Bible.com website to verify that, because the readings for years have always equated the same. But And it appears in the Bible three times that God is love. So we have sort of a stamp of approval from a Christian Bible perspective, but in other religions, in the Gita, and it's always there, God is love. But the problem that the rational mind has, that personality mind, is comprehending all-powerful love, love that is so powerful that it allows love to be extended to the misguided souls and the nasty people here. But if you understand electricity being sort of a creative force, it can be creatively destructive as well as creatively creative.
Right.
Then the concept of love comes into the picture, that this love that is within us is within all things, and if we tap into it, then we can make the connection, and the current of electricity, or the current of God, the current of love can come into us. And that's when I'm doing healing services for people or laying hands on people.
Right.
Miracles occur.
Right.
Healings occur. People, their headaches and aches are gone immediately. And sometimes it's permanent. Sometimes it's permanent for a little while, meaning a week or two or a month. And sometimes it's just a temporary thing.
Well, you know what, Douglas? We're going to take our first break. And when we come back, we're going to open our phone lines up. And Douglas has suggested that if you have a question, maybe you want a dream interpreted, possibly you have a healing question or a health issue that you want to address. These are the types of things intuitively that he's going to be able to answer for you. And welcome back, and thanks for joining us this morning on Conscious Talk. I'm Brenda Michaels.
And I'm Rob Spears, and we're talking with Douglas James Cottrell. And as we mentioned before, he will be talking to you if you want to call in. You've got a health challenge or questions about your life. And, you know, we're going to give out our phone number one more time. It's 425 373-5527. And Douglas, I believe that we have someone on the line. This would be Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie. Welcome to Conscious Talk.
Good morning, Douglas.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Again, good morning, Brenda, and good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
I really appreciate your program. Enjoy listening to it every morning.
Thank you.
Douglas, I had a question. I have a sore thigh, and the back of my thigh has been very sore for about 8 years now, and I have no other health problems. And it's like it's burn. It feels like a burn, like I scalded the back of my leg. Mm-hmm. And it really is irritated by walking.
My first impression is that it starts in the low back, in the lumbars, on the left side.
Yeah.
And then we see that as it goes down the leg, there's a ribbon of a tendon or something, and it's tight on the one side. And it's not like the joint is burning, but it's like the leg when you move the leg or lift the leg up. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. First thing is chiropractor or some sort of traction for your low back. You'll probably get a little bit of problem up just above the shoulder blades in the center of the back, too. It's somewhat corresponding because that comes next in my mind. And the leg and knee need simple traction and or some sort of oil that would be beneficial to the muscle, like mineral oil or castor oil or peanut oil or a combination of those oils. But I see somebody as if they're pulling your leg from the knee, like they're extending the joint, and then they're working on a range of motion on your hip. And I think that's to relax the muscles, but the cause is in the spine.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you so much for calling, Stephanie.
Bye-bye.
Well, you know, we have another caller. Our producer's getting it lined up for us, but I want to ask you another question. You know, you talk of God in your book a lot, and you say that our soul is longing to understand God. And if so, then why aren't more people fascinated with God?
Well, you don't need to be fascinated. You don't need to have any conscious effort towards finding out God in an intellectual way. You are doing it every day, living your life. Mm-hmm. You are experiencing things in the physical world, which is a great classroom for the soul. And whether you know it or not, or accept it or not, you are finding out about God and the concepts of God. The entire purpose of coming into the world is to learn how to get back to God. The original sin, if I can use that, was there with all of us who are here, the souls that were given free will and free choice, left God, the Christos or the Godhead, and we filtered into the material worlds and dimensions. And now we found out that, hey, it's pretty cool, cold, and lonely out here, and we want to get back home.
Mm-hmm.
So God, in its infinite wisdom, said, okay, you want to leave? Here's the keys to the family car. Go ahead. Go wherever you want, but remember, you have to come back the same way that you left.
Mm.
And so we go back through these different experiences, and that's why karma is so important, why we learn both sides of experience or all sides of an experience,
right,
so that we completely understand it. So in the end, when you have complete understanding, there is no negative emotions. There's no anger. There's no frustration. There is compassion. There is tolerance. There is forgiveness. And most of all, there is love.
Great.
That's how you get back into the Christos or back home to God, because you become God through the different levels of consciousness, self-awareness, altered states of consciousness, super states of consciousness, if you will, fully realized, ultimately being realized as an avatar. When you get to that high level, then you become God-like, an avatar, and then you become God. Think of all the holy people in the world. They didn't use violence to get their end. They weren't trouncing people with, you know, Bible thumping or scripture thumping, or they weren't forcing anything.
No.
They uttered simple, simplistic wisdoms. And that's the whole idea of understanding love and understanding God. So that,
well, it's
you
like your,
yeah.
It's like your book, The Secrets of Life, very simply written.
Right.
Well, we have another caller.
We have Julia on the line. Hi, Julia. Welcome to Conscious Talk.
Good morning.
Good morning, Julia. What can I do for you today?
Well, you just answered the part about the spirituality, and my second question was about my health. My first question about spirituality was actually, you know, how do I get or feel more connected? And my second one was just my health in general seems to...
Well, my second question first, what I'm looking at is immediately at your thyroid or neck or throat area. You got a problem there?
Yes.
Okay. Iodine, number one. You should take more iodine, and that's either drops of iodine, there's atomic iodine or Automine that might be good for you. Also kelp or sea salt. Sea salt, not table salt, but sea salt. Table salt has aluminum in it, and it'd be more salt from the sea. That will change your vibration, if you will, and you're going to find that your connection is more harmony or peaceful. And then you'll be able to understand why people sometimes take little shots at you or snipes at you or little things like that. Is that right?
Okay.
Do people do that?
Okay.
Okay. The next, after that, how to be more connected to God is simply to learn how to stand up to the strong when they're in the wrong and make concessions for the weak. And that means that some sort of sense of justice will come about, again, peaceful. And the way to connect straight to God is simply to ask in prayer questions, and then in meditation, listen to the answers. I think you're a dreamer as well, meaning that you would get information or communication through your dreams. But asking or speaking is through prayer, and listening or receiving is through meditation. And what we need, as the book says, and my personal philosophy is that faith is built on belief, and belief is built on evidence, and the evidence is of those little things that God really does exist, and that the world is a just place, and that you can have that coincidence, and you can put things in your mind that will come to you, or when you pray for something, good things will happen. Those are the evidences that make you believe, and as you have a stronger belief, you have a stronger faith, which of course makes everything work better. From an intuitive, spiritual level to a physical level. The idea is to have peace in the world. And if you have peace in your heart, and you can kind of tolerate all the other little things that are going on, and basically, for everybody listening, fear is the one thing that the country is going through now.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can get rid of the fear, then we have light and we have peace. Fear itself doesn't exist, but it's a state of mind that stops the peacefulness and the constructive aspects from coming through.
Well, Douglas, Julia, does that answer your question?
Yeah, one thing on the health that I was thinking he might tap into, I'm having some female issues, and I was wondering if he saw anything for that.
Are you talking hormones, Julia, hormones or something else?
It's something else. Well, it could be related to hormones, but I'm not exactly sure what the problem is.
Okay, well, again, my attention went immediately to the thyroid, and the reason I ask you about the hormones is the thyroid is a timing hormone releasing control thing, and I think that might be the problem. And I really think that, as I said, it seems to be the little things that are upsetting you and making you jump or fearful, and that may be the premenopausal things that I'm picking up. Again, I'm only giving little snapshots, and my mind's just picking up the most important, if you will, issues. If I was doing a reading, we could probably elaborate on it, but I think it's probably a hormone issue and a thyroid issue. That's where my attention, as I check again, goes right back to the thyroid. I think that's probably the root of the situation.
Thank you, Julia.
Okay,
so
thank
much
you
for calling.
So much.
Thank you.
Take care.
Well, Douglas, that kind of brought up an interesting point about this idea of our co-creating with God. When you were talking about fear really isn't real, you know, so that must mean that we create it.
It is. It's a state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
More exactly, it's a condition.
Hmm.
Conditions can't be touched. They can't be felt. You can't give me a handful of fear.
Right.
Conditions are the result of something else. Okay? And we always pray for the something else. We always want the something else. And that something else can and is tangible. So if you're praying for something, then it should be available, or it should be appealing to one of the five physical senses. Make no mistake about that. If you pray for happiness, for instance, then you have to have somebody telling you jokes, you know, that you can hear.
Yeah, in other words, what you're looking for in prayer is this must be tied into the idea of belief, that you're looking for something with a physical dimension to it,
and then it works.
Right.
Because I have unfortunately people recently. A lady came up when I was doing one of the laying on of hands sessions, and she said, "I pray for strength," and I pray for wisdom. And I said, no, 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 don't do that. When you pray for strength, God gives you problems, so you get stronger. Mm. When you pray for wisdom, you meet every stupid person in the world.
You know? Shows up, yes, right.
So I'm making light of it, but the reality is pray for opportunities. Pray for people that bring you opportunities. Pray for things that are real and tangible, because how else are you going to know that your prayer is being answered unless it's there in your hand?
Right.
So you want to be specific then. That's
right.
As specific as you can believe. I mean, I use the example of, you know, praying for $1 million, and I say to the person, well, what would you do with it? And they'd say, well, I'd buy a car, and, well, maybe I'd buy a house, and I'd put the rest in the bank. And I say, well, then what you're really praying for is a house and a car.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Well, we're going to take another break, and when we come back, remember, our phone lines are open. You can talk with Douglas James Cottrell if you have any issues, want to interpret dreams. Maybe you have a relationship problem. Maybe you have a problem with money. Maybe you have a problem with your health. He's here to serve. So when we come back, we're going to get...